Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, we're moving on now with our beginner's guide to some of the best music stars of all time. Today, it's a singer who is a household name. But when you delve into her back catalogue, you might be surprised at how little of her music and her background you actually know. We could just let that go, couldn't we? The Queen of Soul there, Aretha Franklin, and joining me in studio now to help us rediscover her music is Sive Downs from RTE Digital and Culture Writer. Good morning, Sive.
Hello, Claire.
We could just play the music, couldn't we?
I know, we could just sit here for the last 13 minutes, just listen to her.
But we do want to talk about her and find out a little bit more about her. We're going to go right back. Will you tell us about her childhood, first of all?
Yes, let's go way back. So Aretha was one of four kids, born 25th of March 1942 in Tennessee, to her mother Barbara and her father C.L. Franklin, who was a really prominent pastor of national significance in the US at the time. So he would have had really, you know, famous people in his congregation, Marvin Gaye, Sam Cooke, you know, Mahalia Jackson. So these people, Aretha would have been around these people who really were so influential in America's music scene at the time. She would have grown up with these people. So he was one of the first pastors to really record his sermons. So they were broadcast on radio. He used to, you know, do traveling. Maybe you'd call it like a traveling podcast now. He used to do that, his sermons, travel around. So he was really a pioneer in that sense. Aretha's mother and father split up when she was quite young. So her mother moved to Buffalo, New York, and she subsequently passed away. So this would have been really, she had quite a tumultuous childhood, Aretha did. And her dad, while he was, you know, a man of God, he had quite a promiscuous lifestyle, which is very mysterious. We don't know too much about it. We know Ray Charles is quoted to have said that the church was, quote unquote, a sex circus. And we know that he fathered a child with a 13-year-old from his congregation. So that must have been quite hard, of course, for Aretha growing up.
She was living away from him, though, was she, at that time?
She was. So she was living away from him with different aunts and uncles, but she would also come back to him because he was the one providing her with a musical platform.
Okay. She herself then became pregnant at the age of 13, was it?
The age of 13, yeah. She actually got pregnant at age 12, had the baby at 13, and then had another baby before her 15th birthday. So teenage pregnancy as well, but her father became her manager at 12. So it was, you know, throughout all this, he was still, you know, getting her to achieve her musical dreams. So he installed recording equipment in the church so he could record her, he could pitch her to labels, and essentially that's what happened. So when she was 14, she released her first album.
So she signed with Columbia then, Sive, was it? That was the first record
deal? Yes. So initially she was with her father, who's releasing her music. And then she signed with Columbia when she was 18 years old. So she was looking for that commercial mainstream success. So her first single, Today I Sing the Blues, it was number 10 on the R&B charts, which is pretty good. But I feel like this stage, Aretha was trying to find her voice. She was experimenting with a lot of different genres. So she really hadn't hit the big time yet with Columbia.
Will we get to, because we want to hear another piece of music now. Bring us the backstory to Respect.
Okay. So Respect is originally an Otis Redding track, which is basically quite misogynistic. He says things like, you know, little girl, I'm going to work, I come home, I'm giving you the money, you better give me some respect. So Aretha basically revamped the track and made it into kind of a feminist icon, you know. And at the time of its release in 1967, we had the US race riots going on at the time in her hometown of Detroit. So it kind of developed also into a civil rights anthem as well, which, you know, unambiguously, we demand respect, we demand equality. So yeah, it's one of her most favourite tracks.
Let's hear a bit of it. So that wins her two Grammys in 67.
Two Grammys, Best R&B and Best Pop Performance. So she'd really made it now. She'd kind of really hit the big time now. So the next track that she, so this was Respect, that was the first.
Will we move to some covers? Because she was very famous for covers. Let's have a listen to this one. It's extraordinary, really, when you look at the list of songs that she covered, which were originally performed by really very famous artists like Dionne Warwick and Sam Cooke. And she just made them her own.
She made them her own. And it's kind of like, a lot of the time you think that they're Aretha originals and they're not. I think she's such a captivating artist, and we really can hear her story through her music. And I think that's what really, she makes everything her own. She's amazing.
She was also a prolific and very successful writer.
She was. She was a very successful writer. And she also, I think a lot of the time with, at this time, it was the time of Motown, you know. So a lot of, which was once called actually race music, which is hilarious in retrospect, which became R&B music. It was the beginning of, you know, these big labels pumping out this music that a lot of the time wasn't written by the artists themselves. But Aretha really wrote from her own perspective, you know, the toxicity of the tumultuous relationships she was in, heartbreak. She documents her dad's cheating scandals with different women in her music. So we really hear her story in her own words.
Well, we can take a listen now to some of her own writing. This is You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman. She was really in her prime then, in the late 60s.
Oh, she was. 67 to 72 were those prime eras from Aretha. And this track is from her Lady Soul album, which is 56 years old today. So yeah, you make her tracks have such layered meaning. Like originally you would think that this track is about, you know, having a romantic partner that makes you feel, you know, secure in your womanhood in, you know, some way or another. But it also could have the meaning as, you know, it's a celebration of feminine power and, you know, owning who you are and all that it is and means to be a woman.
So then in 72, she had the live album Amazing Grace, which was a huge commercial success.
Huge.
Then did things pull back a little bit for her on the success side?
Things kind of petered off a little bit more. She joined a new label. She left Atlantic Records in 1980 and signed with Clive Davis's Arista Records. And she didn't have as much commercial success, but in 1985, she had a track with Eurythmics. I feel like everyone knows this one. Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves. This is so unlike anything you would think Aretha would release, but it worked.
God, they're all great. And then 1994 at the Grammys.
Yes.
There was major recognition of her lifetime achievements.
Yes, she had won 18 Grammys in total and many, 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 many nominations. And then in 2005, she was given the Presidential Medal of Freedom by George Bush, which is a huge, huge honour. And then, of course, we remember that Obama's inauguration in 2009. Wow, that was amazing.
And she died then in 2018.
In 2018, yes. Her last ever performance was in 2017 for an Elton John fundraiser.
Right, leaving that incredible legacy behind. And you're going to send us all down into the rabbit hole now, having listened
yes.
to that of Aretha Franklin. Sive, thank you so much. Sive Downes there, who is RTE culture writer and digital writer too.